Hello, my friends. We are back with season 3 of the Move With Love podcast with more wonderful, fun, loving, and supportive content for you. I'm your host, Bree Johnson of Heart and Bones Yoga. This season is going to be all about looking at the yoga industry, looking at how our fears and worries and perceptions of who we are as teachers are a result of this commodification of yoga. So, baby, it's not you, it's the yoga industry. And that's what we're diving into in this episode today. If you teach yoga, at one point or another, you've probably felt like an imposter, probably felt like you didn't know enough, thought that you had to look a certain way, wear certain clothes, and have to do all the poses in order to teach them. And if you've ever thought any or all of these things, it usually then leads to insecurity, feeling a lack of confidence, and doubt about yourself and your teaching. So yeah, it's a lot. And I have yet to meet a yoga teacher in all my years of training teachers around the world that has not had one or some of these worries or fears. So why do we think that is? Well, I think it's not because yoga teachers aren't confident people. They absolutely are fabulous, wonderful humans. But I would say that most of those who teach yoga are doing it to help others, to make an impact on people's lives and the world. So how do we go from wanting to help to not feeling good enough in who we are as a teacher? Mental health is a complex blend of biology, psychology, social and cultural factors. And the extra pressures of social and cultural ideals often make a bigger impact than many people realize. So these ideals, especially from the fitness and wellness industry, become internalized for all of us to varying degrees, and yoga is not immune to that. So here's an example. If you've ever felt like you needed to wear certain clothes in order to attend a yoga class, it's not because you actually need special clothes, it's because of the way yoga clothing and accessories has been marketed to us. And this has been growing for over the past 20 years. Before then, I remember a time when what you wore to yoga did not matter and yoga-specific clothes were not a thing. Anybody else remember that? In fact, I remember the day when I encountered my first pair of $100 yoga pants. It was 2002, and up until that point, I'd been practicing yoga in men's boxer briefs and an old cut-up t-shirt. These were perfect for the small Ashtanga yoga studio I was practicing in, and especially during the hot and muggy Montreal summers. And I remember going into this new clothing store that had a small clothes section. I was curious about the yoga-specific clothes as my men's boxer briefs were starting to wear thin from too many sweaty chaturangas. I was with a friend and we were oohing and aahing at the new cool fabrics and neat-shaped pants. Like, does anybody else remember those early Lululemon sort of bell-bottom cropped pants? And then we saw the price. I was shocked that these pants were over $100. And of course, I was a totally broke university student at the time, but still, at that time, paying that much money for yoga clothes had not been a thing. And before my Ashtanga days, I'd been going to yoga classes in community halls and church basements. This was the late 90s, and in those days, the classes would be full of older women, the odd young person like me, and we'd all be wearing tights. There were very little yoga accessories or accoutrements, except for the odd mala beads or Nalgene water bottles. And I most definitely don't remember any sort of feeling that you needed to wear certain clothes in order to fit in like it does now. So what happened? Over the last 20 years, as yoga hit its stride in terms of popularity around the world, companies like Lululemon realized that they could profit off the growing popularity of yoga with expensive yoga clothes, glossy yoga magazines cropping up everywhere, and also with it, the rise of the yoga celebrity. And as the practice of yoga became something to profit off of, it quickly started to look very similar to the beauty and wellness industry, selling us an image of young, white, able-bodied women who were the picture of health and inner calm, apparently because of their yoga practice. Now, this commodification of yoga brings with it many internalized beliefs around who can practice yoga, what a yogi should look like, and who can teach yoga, and what a yoga teacher looks like. And so now here we are, where it's more common than not for yoga teachers and yoga students to think that something's wrong with them if they don't fit those ideals, which of course leads to those feelings of self-worth and insecurity, because it's comparison, because most of us don't fit into that. So it's not you, my friends. You're amazing. It's the yoga industry. It's not yoga that makes you feel this way. It's the marketers and large corporations creating and profiting off of our insecurities. And when we can extricate ourselves from these internalized stories and realize that who we are is enough, then we're doing our yoga. And helping to change these harmful standards and beliefs, not just for yourself, but for the people that you work with. Because it's an act of power to buck these norms, to change the perspective and conversations, to recognize the internalized stories that the industry have created about ourselves. And so that is where your yoga practice comes in. Not just in physical asana and movement practice, but I'm talking about the deeper practice of yoga, that deeper practice that asks us to self-examine, to look within and learn more about our conditioning with kindness and care. So what do we do about it? Here's some helpful practices that you can do to shift your inner narrative and see yourself with more confidence and love, where again, you don't have to go, okay, something's wrong with me. No, nothing is wrong with you. Something's wrong with the yoga industry. So let's do some of these exercises. These are things that I love to do to really deepen my practice, which deepening my practice doesn't mean trying to get my leg around my head. Deepening my practice means that I'm going into this process of self-examination and self-awareness. So if feeling like an imposter is one of those things that I would say is hugely common for yoga teachers, then I would look at that and go, okay, cool, I'm feeling like an imposter. So then I would take that next step, asking myself why and what. Why do I feel like an imposter? What are the things that I feel like an imposter about? And the key here is not just to think it, my friends, is to write them all down. Get it out of your head and see these things written down. Don't be scared of what comes out. Just go, okay, I feel like I'm an imposter in this sense. And I feel like I'm an imposter when it comes to my amount of knowledge as a teacher or my amount of experience, or I can't touch my toes, or, you know, the list goes on and on. And don't be shy. Just write down as many of those things. Like, what do I feel like an imposter about? So look at each of these things with kindness, compassion, and then ask yourself why. Look at them all, read them back to yourself and go, why do I think that? And then go, are they true? Are any of these actually accurate? So if one of your questions or your answers to the imposter was, oh, I feel like an imposter because I don't have enough experience, then the question of that goes, well, why do I feel like I need to have a certain amount of experience? And what is this magical number of years of experience where I'll finally stop feeling like an imposter? Because if you've taken a teacher training, if you've even just started teaching, you have more experience than the people in your classes. So you are enough, and you don't get experience without doing the work, without showing up and teaching and gaining experience. So there's really never an end goal with experience. We're always going to be learning. I've been teaching for 20 years and I still feel like I'm gaining experience. And I will probably feel like that till the day I stop teaching, because that's just how it is. So when we can really examine these internalized beliefs like that, we really can see, well, that's not true. I'm not an imposter because I don't have experience, because you actually do, and you're gaining it with each class that you take. And so then some of the other ones, you know, asking yourself the question of where did this perception that a yoga teacher has to be a certain way come from? And you examine that. Why do I believe that? Why do I think that? And when we can pull the lens and widen the lens a little bit and go, well, this is the culture that we're swimming in. No wonder when these industries can profit off of our insecurities, no wonder I think a yoga teacher has to look a certain way. Asking yourself questions with curiosity and care. And then as you bring these questions out of your head into your heart, you'll likely discover that those fears simply aren't true, that actually you are a wonderful teacher and you can't do all the poses. And actually you are an effective teacher and you can't touch your toes. And you are a fabulous teacher and you're new at it. Or, you know, so you start to see it's like you can be both. And you can keep growing and learning. And bottom line is, you are a great teacher because of who you are and not what you aren't. I'm going to say that again. You are a great teacher because of who you are, because you care, because you show up, you keep learning, because you're curious in your own growth and awareness, not about what you aren't or what you can or can't do. Because all of that stuff, it's not you. It's the yoga industry. I hope that really helps to reframe some things for you and takes a little bit of that pressure off of your shoulders, always having to internalize and think that something's wrong with you. It's not you. Again, it's that yoga industry, and we're all able to disrupt it when we start to look at self-love, when we start to unpack and uninternalize, if that's even a word, these beliefs. So please do these practices. Please dive in deeper. Please show up to your next class with a little bit more confidence, a little bit more ease. Okay? Thank you. And as always with this show, please share with your yoga teacher friends, spread the love, spread the word so that more teachers stop feeling like that in that imposter and feel good in who they are as they are. So yoga teachers, if you want more love and care and inspiration, go check out season 1 and 2 of the podcast. Go check out our beloved Heart and Bones teacher training. It's online. We have hundreds of certified students and teachers from around the world teaching in this loving approach. And we talk about this stuff. This is actually some of the first stuff we talk about in our teacher trainings, because we know this is the big stuff that gets in the way for a lot of us. So this is important conversations. Go check out that teacher training. Check out our Heart and Bones online yoga studio that yoga teachers love. All of it at heartandbonesyoga.com. Thank you for being here, as always.